Today we're looking at Live as Children of Light, Ephesians 5, 1 to 20. And it's a wonderful chapter. I feel inadequate as I stand here to convey all the richness of this passage. But with God's help, we will hear his voice to us today. As I read in preparation for this talk this morning, I noticed that there were actually two expressions that are very parallel. Let me just go on to the next. Notice this, in verse 8, live as children of light, that's our text for today. But early on in the chapter, live a life of love. So there are those two expressions, live as children of light, live a life of love. And I reflected on that and said, what is Paul wanting to convey by this expression, live? And I came to the conclusion that what he means is that it should be a constant, uninterrupted, perpetual life of light and love. The word in the original Greek language is to walk as children of light, and walk in love. And walking is not a stepping into momentarily and then a stepping back. Walking, nor is it a sprint that lasts just for 100 meters and then you relax to one side. No. Walking is a steady, perpetual, continual movement. And that is why Paul chooses this expression, live a life of love and live as children of light. So we're going to look at that. I think there are, in the English language, several idioms, expressions well known, which express this totality, this continuity, this uninterruptedness. Let me just remind you a few of them. Here is a sign, perhaps it might be over a medical facility of some sort. We are open, and we're delighted to see that. But close inspection of this notice shows that it's not all what we might expect. What does it say? Monday to Saturday. So it's not every day of the week, it's just certain days of the week. And not all hours of day and night, but only from mid-morning to mid-afternoon on certain days of the week. That is not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about 24/7. That's an idiom that expresses something of what Paul is wanting to communicate in this passage. Here's another idiom. In percentages, Paul isn't talking about 20% of our life to be lived in love and if possible, on Sundays and on special occasions, you know, walk in the light and be in the light. No, he's talking about 100%. That's another idiom of totalness, totality, and uninterruptedness. Here's another one. Wall to wall is an expression that we use sometimes for, you know, completeness. Here is a picture, I think you can all see it, of a hallway. Very irregular because here are the stairs going upstairs and there is a corner and over there there's a door that leads into another room. But notice how the wall-to-wall carpet covers every inch. There's no part of the floor that is not covered by this carpet. Wall-to-wall is the third idiom of this totalness, totality that Paul is talking about here. And lastly, 360 degrees is another idiom that expresses not just part. Sometimes you say from the hill we were standing on, you had a view of 180 degrees, and that's already good. That's wonderful. But 360 degrees is that there's no angle that is not covered. 360 degrees. Now it's this sort of totalness I think that Paul is trying to convey when he uses the expression "live as children of light, live a life of love." We're going to look at four aspects of this living as children of light. Here's the first one. It's that verse 2, live a life of love. Love is part of walking or living in the light. I think we've got the text here. We start actually the previous verse, the last verse of chapter 4. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, or some translations say, be imitators of God, and as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So this is one big aspect of living as children of light. to live a life of love, kind and compassionate to one another, considerate, not judgmental, but affirming, supportive, helpful, considerate, compassionate. These are some of the expressions that Paul uses. There are so many aspects of, let me just remind you of the famous passage in 1 Corinthians 13 that has quite a lot more to say about the sort of love that Paul is talking about here. Love is patient. So patience is an aspect. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So this is the sort of love that Paul is saying we should live in constantly. And significantly, I don't know if this has a... Yes, here we are. Significantly, part of this is forgiving one another. That is an aspect of love. Because, let's be frank and honest, living a life of love is not easy. There are people who upset us. Even as you sit here this morning, you might be able to actually recall and bring to mind something that somebody said, something that somebody did, even years ago. Difficult to forgive. It's wrangled with you over many, many years. But Paul says if we are living a life of love, we should be forgiving towards one another, just as Christ, as God in Christ forgave us. That is the measure of our forgiveness. There should be no offense that we cannot forgive. I may have told you that Christine and I know a colleague, a former colleague, many, many years ago, who was gifted, very qualified, an exceptionally good teacher. But there came a stage in her career where she felt she had been wronged by the authorities and that she was not able to dispense the course that she particularly was concerned to teach. And this, what she perceived as a wrong, and it may have been a wrong, I'm not saying it wasn't, perhaps it was an injustice of some sort, but this offense, this hurt, rankled with her all the way back then, and apparently, even to this day, it still rankles with her, to the extent that she was unable to continue her ministry of helping others by teaching, because this root of bitterness had grown up inside her, and she was not able to get over it and to relinquish it. But we are to forgive one another as God in Christ forgave us. How has God forgiven? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I mean, really remove them. Another verse says that God has cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. That is how God has forgiven us. He remembers them, our offenses, no more. And that is how we are to forgive one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. So follow God's example, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. I was noticing in church, in our church in Bristol the other day, a young lad, and I thought to myself, my, there's no mistaking whose son he is, because he looks so like his dad. And that is how we should be as we imitate and follow the example of God. People should see in the way that we love one another something that reminds them of God. That's just how God acts. Jesus said, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so love is the first aspect, I'd say, of living a life of love, living as children of light, to live a life of love. So that's the first thing. But there is a second aspect to living in the light, I think, from this passage, and that is to live a life of holiness. Because love does not tell the whole story. It's great and it's absolutely essential that we should be living a life of love. But there are other things in life that should characterize us as children of light. And this passage makes clear that it is the holiness of God. It speaks about being, just find the exact passage, God's holy people, verse 3. These are improper for God's holy people, you see. So holiness is another aspect of living as children of light. Holiness is the righteousness, the justice, the purity that characterize God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And now Paul says that we should be like that. We should reflect that holiness. And he is very explicit, rather like this wall-to-wall carpet. There are things that he needs to expose in order that we can recognize them as being improper, unfit for God's improper for God's holy people. First amongst that, among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Notice that, not even a hint. 360 degrees, 100%, wall to wall. There should not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Now this is difficult in these days when so much in the media bombard us with sexual images, advertising, fashion, the social media, magazines, newspapers, articles of one sort or another, and increasingly sexual immorality is an accepted norm, but not among God's people. That is improper for God's holy people. We should share the complete holiness of God. In God there is no darkness at all, and that's what we should somehow be able to imitate and do. And not only activity, sexual impurity and immorality, but there should not be obscenity, foolish talk, or what is that? Of coarse joking. Coarse joking. In other words, our words should also be pure and holy. And I don't know about you, but some of the so-called comedy programs that are on television nowadays are full of coarse joking, obscenities. There's one program that comes to mind where if a comedian really wants to get a laugh from the people, he will resort to using the F word. I mean, it's as bankrupt as that with some folks. They feel they have to use an F word, an obscene language, in order to raise a laugh from the audience. That is just not, it's just not proper, it's not fitting for God's holy people. So our words should be clean as well and holy. And not just behavior, not just words, but also our thoughts. You see, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And our thought life is just as important to God as our behavior and our words. Psalm 139, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Now, occasionally if you're sitting next to somebody, you can detect what they're thinking inside by the expression on their face or their body language. You can get an idea of what they're thinking. But at a distance, of course, you can't detect that. If the person's in the next room or in another country, you can't detect what on earth they're thinking. But you perceive my thoughts from afar. Distance is no object to God. He sees even the thoughts of our hearts before they're formed into behavior or words. God sees them. And so that is something that must come into the light as children of light, this wall-to-wall holiness that God expects from his people. The New Testament agrees with the Old Testament that our thought life, our hidden life, is just as important to God. You know that wonderful verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13? It says, nothing in all creation, notice how complete and total the words are here, the vocabulary, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That is sobering. Nothing in all creation is hidden. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Well, that would be scary if it weren't also the most wonderful truth, that we don't need to hide anything because we can't hide anything, and we ought to be holy through and through. Nothing in all creation. So, first of all, live a life of love. Secondly, live a life of holiness. Thirdly, live in the Spirit. Because as you're listening to me, and as I thought to myself as I was preparing this, this is setting the bar awfully high. How can we possibly do these things and act in this way? But the Spirit is the motor is the energy in all this. We cannot live like this in our own strength, no matter what our upbringing. As some of us may have had the privilege of growing up in a godly family, but our upbringing can't achieve this. Our qualifications don't even touch on the subject. Our efforts, nothing that we can do can help us to live as children of light. But God has given us new life in Christ. The day that we trusted Christ as our Savior, we were born again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past. Everything has become new. And the Holy Spirit reproduces the very life of God, the life of love and light and holiness within the person. And that is what Ephesians chapter 5 says. Let's see what it says here. Find out what pleases the Lord. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. This is the secret. This is the motor in all this. Not our energy, not our batteries, which will soon give out, but the life of the Spirit. And not just to be born again of the Spirit, but to be constantly filled with the Spirit. As you all probably all know, the verb here in the Greek is a present continuous. Keep on being filled. Every day, every moment of the day, keep on being filled with the Spirit, so that you might live as children of light and children of love. Do not grieve the Spirit of God, Paul says in another passage. And so we need to, if we live in the Spirit, says another verse, we must keep in step with the Spirit and every day be guided by him. Which brings me to another point that I noticed in this section. Notice that expression right at the top, find out what pleases the Lord. And understand what the Lord's will is. Now these two expressions, find out and understand, I think you'll agree with me, express an intentionality. It doesn't just happen naturally. But find out, discover what isn't necessarily obvious. Make an effort on your part to discern what the will of God is. Find out what pleases the Lord. Understand what the Lord's will is. If we want to live a life in the Spirit, live as children of light, then we need to be looking out to discover what it is that God wants us to do and how he wants us to live. If we had more time, I'd invite us to just discuss with the person next to you, how can we find out what pleases the Lord? I mean, practically, let's be practical here, how do you find out what pleases the Lord? Well, I think probably some of you already say, well, one obvious way is to read the Word of God, because God has disclosed what his will is, most obviously in the Ten Commandments, but everywhere in Scripture, God is expressing and has expressed to us what his will is. And so as we read the Word of God, and I hope it's not just a Sunday habit when we hear the Word of God read to us and we repeat it on the screen, but I hope it's a habit every day to immerse yourself in the Word of God, even if it's just for a few minutes, but to, as it were, rinse your mind in the Word of God. So that every day your mind is being washed by the pure Word of God and he is disclosing to you what his will is. That's one way. Another way is to hear the Word of God preached on a Sunday, to talk with one another, because we can ask one another's advice. Would you pray with me? Help me to know what the Lord's will is. There's the so-called the general will of God, and that's obvious from Scripture. It's his will for everybody, whether they're Nigerian or South American. You know, God has expressed what it is that is pleasing to him and what it is that is not pleasing to him. That's the general will of God. But there's also what some people would call the personal or specific will of God. You know, what university should I apply to? Is it God's will that I should get married? It's not necessarily God's will for everybody. Some people are called to be single. Lord, what do you want me to do? And have this wonderful friend. Is she the one that you have chosen for me? Or should I wait? You know, these are what I might call the personal, specific will of God. But find out what pleases the Lord as you wait on him and pray to him and listen to his word and seek advice. God will reveal to you what his will is. This is how we can be work, find out what pleases the Lord and understand what the Lord's will is. And the Holy Spirit is crucial in that process. Jesus said, when the Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is very, very important, and we cannot be without him. Okay, so that's the third aspect of this living as children of light. Let's come to the last one. Live in thankfulness. Let's look at those where we find that in this passage. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once again, I'm laboring the point, but notice again how Paul is expressing this idea of totality or uninterruptedness or completeness in the expression always. Not just occasionally when something nice happens to you, you should be thankful, but always giving thanks, and not just for certain things, but for everything. So always and everything, these are 360-degree, 100% words that we should be thankful people. And you know, it's easy for us to focus on the things that are going wrong. We can be negative, we can be have in the foreground all the things that are going wrong and that are not as we would like them to be. And gradually our lives can become joyless and thankless and ungrateful. But Paul's saying here, if you're wanting to live as children of light, then wall to wall thankfulness in everything, at all times, give thanks to God. There is so much to thank God for. The other day, when I was having my morning time with the Lord, I thought, before going any further, I just want to stop and name the blessings that I am grateful for every day. And I start off with the measure of health that I enjoy, the lovely home that we have, of course, my wonderful wife, and family life, and food and comfort and shelter, not to mention the church that we belong to. So much to praise God, therefore. We praise God for friends that we've known over decades or made friends with recently. And you start listing these benefits for which you want to thank God. And the list goes on and on and on. And then, of course, you come to God himself. And you thank God for the forgiveness that we have in Christ, the word that he has given to us, the spirit that he has poured out into our hearts. All these things, there are so many blessings that we can thank God for. And Paul says, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. So these are some of the things that struck me from this passage as we sort of dig around in this subject of live as children of light. Live a life of love. Secondly, live a life of holiness. Thirdly, live a life in the Spirit. And finally, live a life of thankfulness. And as we allow these different aspects to flood our lives, we will indeed come a little way towards living as children of light. Just one important caveat. It may be that after hearing all this, you're saying, well, that's all very well, but that's not me. I mean, I'm aware that, and I certainly am aware, that time and time again in different ways, I let the Lord down, not just in the things that I do, but in the things that I think even, perhaps thoughts of pride or impatience. You know, so all this is well and good, but, you know, but there's one wonderful secret. One aspect of living in the light is that it is also the place where we find forgiveness and cleansing. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we walk with him and have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is in that place of light that we are not only aware of how we fail God, but also find forgiveness and cleansing from those very things that trouble us. And so it's a wonderful message that is the light is the place where we can rest and remain and trust God day to day. We join with the psalmist this morning, Lord, at the end of this service to pray, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my inmost thoughts. See if there is in me any offensive way, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thank you, Lord, you who are the God of light and in whom is no darkness at all. Help us to come close to you and to live every day in the immediate presence of you, our God and our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.